not hearing anything. Again, I want to welcome everybody to the Thursday night edition of the K2IRT, Kilo 2 India Romeo Tango Net, with the New York City Transit Authority Amateur Radio Club.
Hello, this is Don AA2DS from Middletown, New York.
Ah, I thought there was a K in there, Don. How you doing? You're coming in from Middletown. 2 meter, the 440 length.
I'm in the 2 meter length. I'm on the 2 meters. I programmed my radio from the computer with the software, and I'm hitting this repeater like a champ. I'm in Brooklyn.
Don, you sound good, I'll tell you that. You sound very good there. So what's going on? How you been?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm working on our local AM Fest up here. I'm setting up. I got to work on my computer, put in. And,
towards the end of the transmission, you broke up, but it sounds like you got yourself a full plate up there. And AmFest and all the other setting up you're doing, man. You gotta find time for yourself to play with the radio now, guys.
Yeah, well, I have time because I'm looking right at the radios right now. The UHF, VHF sits on top of a shelf where the HF is right below it. You know, and I'm getting some of my cards back from Europe now that all the contacts I made. Over.
Good to be a ham. it's got to be fun for you there. Have you ever put up anything for the 160 yet?
160 is going to be when the weather breaks. I'm going to put up the 160 yet.
Well, as I said, if you got the 40 meter capability, you got the 72 true during the day and on weekends. And the door is always open on the 160 band starting at 8 o'clock on 1870 to 1872, depending on the conditions. And the 72 true is thinking of starting the night watch again. They're going to have to move to another frequency. Apparently they use the 7193 frequency. That the farm broadcast, as soon as fall hit, blasted in and threw us right off the air there. All right, Don, I got you on the list. This is the K2IRT group, and we have Andy out there, KF2WR. Come on in, Andy. QSL, that's the old leak detector for the Mercury Arc. And we had various leak detectors years ago that if we lost the vacuum in the Mercury Arc rectifiers, we used to open them up to air, pump a little nitrogen in there, and then put a couple of teaspoons of ethylene dichloride, all the finest stuff that kills people. And we had to wear white gloves to protect the mercury and the ethylene, and didn't have to protect us. And we used different types of snippers and leak detectors to try to find the leaks on these machines there. It got more sophisticated that we had a handheld unit in the 70s, and then finally when the mercury scare hit, we never opened up one of those tanks again there. Go ahead.
Alright, fine business. It looks like, you know, it is just there. Well, I'll just tag it to the side. I won't send it out with the rest of it. But you never know when they might, yeah, that's it. KFC, WR, Bumble.
Yeah, 2WR, WA2AXZ, for the K2IRT group, man. Looks like you have a good stable of people here today, and everyone's chomping at the bit. I'm starting to get quite a lot of the hat orders. I'm doing the hat for the 72 shoe, and we're already into our second dozen. And just one of the things that we'll talk about for the K2IRT group, that we should definitely get some kind of a logo on hat, or maybe a t-shirt, you know, something to show us apart from all the other groups when we're together. And I'm always open for ideas one way or the other there. I'll take a few seconds here to pause. This is the K2IRT group. Do we have any additional check-ins? Come on in.
N2YIE.
KA2KDQ, good evening. We got two of them, N2YIE and KA2KD2Rich. N2YIE, come on in, say hi.
Hello, Robert. Name here is Mike, and located in Brooklyn, New York. This is my first time on the net, and I talk to Charlie. I catch Charlie every now and then, especially on the contest. It seems like we like to help out on the contesting, and we tried to help out on some points this weekend, try to give some folks those extra points on the VHF contest. So over to you, Robert, WA2AXZ, net control N2YIE.
All right, welcome aboard, Mike, N2YIE. It's got the K2IRT group. Yeah, I know, this year... this year the group decided not to go up on the roof of Hamels and do it, but we did this last year, and if you take a look at our website there, when it gets on the outside web, you got a picture of Charlie on the roof of Hamels as the wind is blowing him off the roof. It's a funny sight. He really froze our tuchuses off, but we had a heck of a good time. Had a great time there, guys.
You know, Robert, it's funny you should mention Hamels Y in the winter. The only time that I was there was during an incident that happened many years ago, and it happened to be smack in the middle of the winter. We were there all day without heat, and I remembered as if it were yesterday. Beautiful place. I would assume that that must be an ideal location to work out in the summertime and spring, but not quite what you would want in the winter, to you, Robert.
This is the K2IRT group. No, you're right about that. I've worked out in Hamels since the, I've been inspecting out there since 1972. So it's been a little cold out there in the winter. Especially when you have to walk the rails at the Y itself. To do a switch inspection, maybe a cable fall, you have to run around in the snow looking for a lot of melted snow. but I do tell you, we've had a couple of field days, and we've done the 100th anniversary of the subway out there. And in the spring and in the summer, you're right, it's a beautiful area, beautiful sunsets, sunrises. Beautiful view, you know, Kennedy Airport and the New York skyline. Get it?
I was gonna say, do you miss the Concorde?
Oh, I'm out of the Concorde every Saturday. Matter of fact, I do my little thing for the 72 chew starting about 8:15 every morning out there. Good.
Yes. Okay, okay, Robert, I just wanted to get in and say hello. Phil, KT2DXM, believe it or not, we were neighbors in Brooklyn years and years ago, and it's just funny how sometimes people could parallel certain things, and the thing that we parallel is that we work both for New York City Transit. And Phil's been adamant about keeping in touch, which I have to give him a lot of credit for, and keeps me updated on certain things. And one of the things he wanted to do was get me on the net. We tried last week, but he called, and the problem is the 767 takes a little bit of tinkering to get on repeaters, because I have to set both VFOs and make sure that everything's correct, and the PLs are correct, and make sure to have the tone encode button in, because I could key up without the tone encode button, and I got myself into a little trouble a couple times with this radio, so I just wanted to make sure that everything was in working order. WA2AXZ with the K2IRT net. This is N2YIV. Thank you, Robert. Appreciate the break onto the K2IRT net.
I have to compliment you on your radio. It's clear, it's crisp, and you got it tuned into a T. So whatever you've done, put a couple of paint marks on the dial and keep it there. All right. Next on our list is Richard, KA2KDQ. Richard, come on in to make one. How you doing today? Okay, good evening to you, Roby, and to all the other stations which have checked in. First, I'd like to say to that last station, I don't know exactly where I'm looking or located, but from my location here, you put a 3rd Street in there, you are coming in like gangbusters on the info, so you must be fairly close by. All right, anyway, just want to say this week I am able to get on again, finish the defensive driving course, and even though the way things worked out last week, Even though I got home in time to get on the net, I was busy with a number of things at home, so I just loosened out. But now things are a little bit different, so not a problem getting on. Oh, by the way, one thing I will mention very quickly, let me stop in 1 second. Okay, yes, Roby, one thing I will make a mention of, I think it was sometime back in December, I forgot who it was, somebody sent an email about to those four members of K2IRT and mentioned that there's a remote receiver for the 2-meter and the 440 repeaters in Irvington, New Jersey. Very early on New Year's morning, I'm talking like 1:30 in the morning, I stepped over at my girlfriend's parents' house, and just before I went to sleep, I decided to see if the 2-meter repeater, and I'll tell you, I'm 2.5 watts from Clifton, New Jersey. I should not normally be able to get into the repeater, but that the remote receiver in Irvington, New Jersey, definitely I was able to see it up. So I just figured I'd pass that along to anybody. If they ever go traveling in New Jersey, unless they go down to, for argument's sake, Cape May or some place extremely far south, they definitely can get into the 2-meter repeater. I still probably could shoot for the 440 repeater. Unfortunately, I didn't have my 440 HD with me at the time. So W-A-2-A-X-D-K-A-2-K-D-Q. Bridge, K2KDQ and the K2RRT bunch here. All right, thanks a lot on that tip for the Jersey repeater. Like I said, we're always looking for different outlets as we go along. I was running out to Islandia, out in the middle of Long Island, and one of our group from the 72 CHU has a repeater all the way out in Comac. I'm getting pretty good at tuning the Yaesu 857D into the repeater frequencies lately. So it's one of those things now, Rich, when you have a handheld or any kind of a radio, you have to go bananas remembering all the steps to get this thing set up. Matter of fact, that's why I keep the instruction book with me at all times in the car. There's always one little point I'm going to forget yelling into a dead mic. Hey, Rich. Again, this is the K2IRT radio group, and we meet here every Thursday at 8 o'clock for about an hour to chat about anything from transit affairs, ham radio, and it's open discussion to anybody who wants to join us. We'll just stop for a moment here and see if anyone else wants to join us before we go to the top of the list. Come on in now. With nothing heard, we'll turn it back up to Abe, WB2PQR. Abe, come on in to make one. WB2PQR, Abe, equal copy. Abe, but the battery went dead. Turn it up to Charlie, WB2YZX. Come on in and make one.
Hey, WA2AXZ, WB2YZX, and good evening to Andy and Don and Mike, and that was encouraging. And of course, Phil, and it's good to hear everybody on here. So, I did jump into the VHF contest Sunday for a little while, and I don't really have much of an antenna system except for my, for 6 meters, I use my two long 17-meter antenna, and it works pretty well, and I have the two 8-meter antennas for 2 meters and 440, and they do a fairly decent job anyway, and I made about 40 contacts during the contest, and of course I came across Mike and another guy a few blocks away who I invited to jump in tonight. And while I was doing the contest, and let's face it, it was cold over the weekend, I was just thinking to myself, man, if we were up on the roof of Hamel's Y, it would have been a lot of curses and screaming, because I think it was actually colder this past weekend than it was when we did it last year. So, very windy last time too, and I think it was putting up this monster. We had this, I guess, about 23 element 2 meter Yagi we were putting up there, and the wind and the cold and everything. And how none of us got killed is a miracle in itself. But that's what we call fun in ham radio. Bob, over to you, Roby. WA2AXZ, WB2YZX. WB2YZX, WA2AXZ, and the K2IRT group there. As I said, we all have to be careful. We've got a lot of climbing to do, a lot of antenna work that we'll be doing for the field day. And one thing that we're definitely going to start doing, and we're open for suggestions via email and everything else between Wally and the rest of the gang, is the different types of antennas we're going to be putting up this year. The 80 meter dipole that Ken and Wally put together, that worked out quite nicely. That 40 meter beam, that monster, that did a nice job. That did a very nice job there, so we'll resurrect that for another year. The good old TA-33 will have a home up on the roof. And the other thing is that we dropped the repeater. The other thing is that there's a cleanup crew that's going to be going into Hamels. If you remember where we stored all that on the rectifier floor, and they have those 55-gallon drums by the dozen down there. And we have quite a lot of pipe work, and we have that monster 2-meter beam down there. We're going to have to find out when the zone is going to get there, and I'll check with Jimmy and Andy. And we'll move everything upstairs so they can clean up and do their removal and just get things ready for this year. All right. With that, I can turn it over to Phil again, KZ2DXN. Come on in and make one, Phil. Get the tape wire to move.
It was interesting listening to you guys talking about some of the things that you do. I mean, you're with the power department, so... You're talking about, I guess, the old days when they had the mercury rectifiers. Interesting to hear about, you know, how things were done in the past. That radio you were talking about, that Yaesu 857D, I bought one last year, and I was in the process of installing it in one of my cars. I bought a High Sierra Sidekick screwdriver antenna, but I guess I ran out of ambition. I took the antenna off, but I think I might consider putting the car in a warm place and installing it. What do you think of that radio? I mean, I have that one, and I also bought an FT-897, which I enjoy very much. I use that primarily on HF. But the AC radios for me seem to work pretty good. KC2DXM.
Alright, so you got KC2IRT here. The 857 is a joy. I had my ICOM 718 in the Jeep. I have a Jeep Wrangler. And I got the 857 simply because there's no room in a Jeep Wrangler for anything else other than a little putt-putt radio. I took the radio, and directly above it, I installed the LDG, the auto tuner, the LDG 100. And it's made directly to operate with the 857D. So I made myself a wooden base, and it ties down up on the dashboard quite securely. And with the touch of a button, it tunes in. I'm running the Hustler antennas on the back of the tri-plate for 20 meters, 75 and 40. I've got another one there that also handles 10, 15, and the other bands. And, of course, the 2-meter 440, the little stick, the MFJ stick on the front mag mount. So the Jeep is pretty well radioactive. Does a nice job. I'm out there every weekend on what we call Runway 24 at Floyd Bennett Field, doing 40 meters. And last week, I'm sitting on the beach minding my own business, and I'm talking to Italy on 20. As the net went on there. By the way, the 897 is a great rig too. Charlie will tell you it loves lightning.
When we went out to Ham Radio University, that was Don AA2DS. I bought a 75 meter Hustler antenna, and I took the 897. I also have the auto tuner that LDG makes that piggybacks the radio. And Sundays is our Orange County Amateur Radio Club night at 12 o'clock. So we checked in from Bedpage, Long Island. It was fun. We just had a temporary setup. We unscrewed his CB antenna and used a couple of clip leads and attached the radio's power cable directly to the battery. But it was fun. I like both of those radios. I really have no complaints about them.
Good solid rigs there. I'm thinking of personally of getting another one, just putting it on the side, because I don't know how long I'm going to have my Jeep. My Jeep is 10 years old now, and it's getting tired. I'm getting tired too, for that matter. But some of the new cars, there's no place to really put a radio. So with this detachable front faceplate, you can bury the radio anywhere in the car and just run the faceplate up on the dashboard, and it does the job quite nicely there. Like everything else, it's a little toy. You put it together, you use it, and you have fun with it. That's what I do, Phil. And I think the next thing everyone from the group is chiding me. They want me to get a little linear for the Jeep. But I don't know about that. When you're sitting in a Jeep, the antenna is barely 5 foot away from your head. I don't want to get that warm, fuzzy feeling good.
How about a Class E rig running AM on 75?
Like my old Johnson 500 with the 4400A final.
I'm looking for one of those. As a matter of fact, I spoke to somebody over the weekend, a guy that lives up in Saugerties, New York, and I spoke to Mike also. I'm looking for a Johnson pacemaker to go along with my HF Thunderbolt amp.
That's how you
love those boat anchors. Got quite a few guys on the air here tonight. Abe and Charlie and a couple of the other guys here that use the old rigs there. I had the Johnson 500 for about 20 years until my divorce, and that's when the rig and my oscilloscope became UFOs, but we don't talk about that. All right, so let's continue.
Let's continue on here. Let's see if N2YN is here. If N2YN is not here, we'll continue on to Don. N2YN, come on in. It was going to be a short timer anyhow, but we'll go up to Don now, AA2DS. I'm not going to use the phonetics, Don. Coming to K2IRT.
Thanks, Lobie. That's getting around about those phonetics on my call. I just, you know, glad to check in. I'm glad I'm hitting you guys after I installed this illustrious software out of the computer, putting in all of my frequencies. It's working. I'm picking out a lot of stuff out of this radio oil plant and now. And getting to my bewitching hour, 3 o'clock comes early because I catch that early train. So I would say see you guys on the face-to-face and enjoy listening to everybody tonight. And see you when I see you. 73 AA2DS.
Brad has put the repeater ID itself there. Hold on, you know, the door is always open around the corner. And come on in for a cup of coffee. And definitely, we're going to have our meeting, I believe it's the first Wednesday or Thursday. We'll have to find out in February over at the control center. We'll definitely start in earnest on the antenna work and obtaining some parts. And no rushing. As I said, we have a good group. We get everything together, and we have a great time at Field Day there. Don, you have a great night. We'll move up to Andy now. KF2WR, come on in, Andy, and make one. How's everything in the frozen South Jersey?
KF2WR, WA2AG, K2IRT group.
Yeah, we'll definitely have a chat tomorrow. We'll start moving some stuff around and we'll get this thing all straightened out over and work. It just never ends. We have so much stuff to put together over there. And my eyes are always open for anything that you can put in the museum. So that little piece that you had, I'll take a good look at it, check the size, and see if Charlie wants it over at the archives. We'll give it a home. Also, when you're up there, if you see any books or anything old from the 50s, before 1960 for that matter, you know, instruction manuals or text, I'm always open to cataloging that and putting that away. All right, Andy, have a great night. We will catch you tomorrow. Next on our list for the K2IRT group is N2YIE. Come on in, Mike, and make one. YIE, Mike, you still with us?
Haven't heard
there. Turn it over to Rich, KA2KDQ. Come on in and make one, Rich. How's everything going on your side of the fence?
Okay, Lobie, this is Rich, KA2KDQ. Everything's going okay, my mother. I just want to let you know my mother's doing okay. You know, she's not a youngster, but she appreciates, you know, when I help her out, particularly when it comes to doing all the shopping, and she definitely appreciates that. One thing I will mention very briefly in passing, I don't have all the details in front of me, but this is just a reference. On Sunday the 24th, Weimar will be having its winter flea market out of Levittown Hall from, I believe it's 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. And I think we emissions is probably going to be around $6, and the crossing will be on the 5 mile per repeat of 146.850. The DL tone is 136.5. As I said, I don't have all the details, but that's the essential information. So I figured if anybody wants to go to a flea market on Sunday the 24th out of the 11th Town Hall, they're more than welcome to do so. When I get more information, I'll definitely pass along. And if I can get some current flyers, no problem. You might laugh as well, but I still have their, I still have, I think, in the trunk of my car, some flyers left over from their location. So, in the event, by the time the meeting comes out, I'm not able to get the ones for the current day. I'll bring in the old flyers, because even though the date is wrong, it still has the travel directions by the different highways. The Southern State, Northern State, LIIE. So if anybody needs to get out there, they'll be more than more than able to, even with the wrong date on it.
Rich K2KDQ, WA2AXZ, and the K2IRT group.
Yeah, Rich, if you can, when you get to work, send me an email on the work computer as a little prompt. Just say Limark, and I'll know what it is. And what I can do now, they gave me an internet capability after 38 years of finally being in the subway. I'll go on their website, download the latest announcement, and I'll make sure we do a general email to everybody in K2IRT. And to everybody on the net tonight, if you're not on the email, if you can email me at my call letters, WA2AXZ, at ARRL.net with your email, I'll make sure you get on the master list. And when we have our meetings or any special announcements, you'll definitely be in the middle of the group there. Sounds good, Rich. And just to give you an update, my mom's been at the Sheepshead Nursing Home since December 5th, and sadly she's losing a lot of weight. She's just barely 90, 95 pounds now, and at 92 years of age, it's taking its toll. So we're all together, the family's together. Like I said, I've got my two daughters, my sister's got her three. And between the granddaughters and the other visitors, we're keeping her spirits up there. And I hope everything goes well for your mom, too, there. With that, we'll just pause for a moment and see if we have any additional check-ins. You have the K2IRT, New York City Transit Radio Group. Come on in now. Not hearing anything there. Just to make the announcement, the K2IRT group usually meets every Thursday night at 8 o'clock for about an hour to talk about everything from ham radio to trains to subways to anything that's fair game as a topic. We do a face-to-face meeting at the beginning of the month, either the first or second week, depending on how schedules are. And we usually make that announcement. I believe the next meeting will be February 7th or something like that. I'll have to take a look at the calendar, and of course we'll send an email out to the group and tell everybody. With that, we'll try Charlie again, WB2YZX. Charlie, just curious, have you done any more of that TSK work on your side? Go ahead.
WB2YZX. Yeah, actually, I spend most of my time on TSK when I'm on HF. And it's actually 10 meters opened up Sunday afternoon for a short while, which was kind of weird. And with somebody on, Alabama, I think, on 10 meter TSK. There's a lot of it up there, too. But yeah, that's my mode of choice these days. I don't actually pick up the microphone too much. But, you know me, I love to let my fingers do the talking. And, yeah, Mike, you'll mention that the FT-897, which is what I'm using right now, and I love this thing. I have an IC-706 also, which I bought originally. Couldn't make up my mind which one I wanted, so I ended up buying this. This is my second SD-877. The first one in the closet. It's got a big hole in the motherboard from where it caught fire. That's when the lightning bolt got me. Through the telephone line, through the computer, through the sound card interface, into the rig, but I have some spare parts anyway. So it's that one is sitting in the closet. But I liked it so much, I immediately went out and got another one. So now whenever I hear just the slightest rumble of thunder, I disconnect all the phone lines. But lessons learned. I mean, it's the lowest spot there is, and somehow it lightning found its way into my phone line and got my neighbor also. But these things happen. So that's enough out of me. Let's do W2AX3WB2 lines at X.
DB2YZX, K2IRT group.
No, because I'm talking to several people on our 40-meter 72-2 group, as well as the 160-meter group on 1871, and they say they're into TSK, so I throw your call letters out there occasionally, and I'm just curious, when you're on the 20-meter, what do you hang around, the 14-230 area?
No, I should have studied it legal up there. That would be the phone portion. TSK is on 20 meters. It goes from about 14.071 to 074 thereabouts. It's, not by any regulation, just by convention. Everybody just happened to settle in that area.
All right. Well, if you ever happen to make contacts and they say they heard about you on the chew of the 1721 group. I'm the guilty party throwing you around out there because I'm trying to give you contact. But, no, Charlie, talk about grounding. I think this one's QSD. They have a whole several pages on grounding systems, antenna grounding and the like. And after reading it and reading all the hazards that are out there, I think when a storm comes, I think you should unplug your rig, pack it in the box, and just ship it out to Oshkosh until the storm is over. It seems, unless you have one heck of a good field and a good set of groundings and radios and such, the lightning's going to get you. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, I agree. At one meeting, I remember Bruce, WB2ADS, talking about he took two hits and it cost him $15,000 and destroyed the rig and everything in the house, and he had a good grounding system. So I'm of the belief that if you get a hit, you can take every precaution there is to take. But lightning is going to find its way to ground, and it's going to go through anything in a rig.
Yeah, well, that's why, at least on my little setup here, I pull the cables, I pull the plugs. The only thing I don't pull is the ground strap, and it's interesting to note that even though you do have a ground, I have this heavy braid strap going out to the ground rods near the house, that the lightning is known to come back on the ground strap. I don't know where it would go other than the outside of the case, but if it does get in, it's going to cause all sorts of mischief. Let's try this 750. What do I have here? 756 Pro 2. It'll probably cause lightning bolts to come out of the Kia. All right. Let's see what happens. It's still winter. I'm not going to worry about lightning much until April comes around. With that, we'll see if Phil is still around. KC2DXM, come on to the Maple, Phil.
Yes, as far as lightning, I mean, I guess you can never be too cautious with that. I'm building a house up in Orange County, and for the electrical service, I bought a heavy-duty surge protector that my electrician recommended, and then I've got surge protector on the cable line coming in and telephone line, all of that. But, you know, if something really drastic happens, I don't think anything works. It just, you know, helps a little bit, but, you know, it's better to have it than not. There's a ham, he's a silent key now, that lives up in Orange County. This guy had a substantial station. He had Sturber curtain antennas fed with open feed lines, and in talking to his caretaker, she had seen times where with these open lines, there was actually traces of lightning traveling through his hallway, and he basically thought nothing of it. I think that would, you know, put a little bit of fear in me. This is KC2DXM.
I have to tell you that working in the power department, I've been chased out of many a substation with a big ball of electricity chasing right after me there. Matter of fact, it was most recently back in 2003 when we blew up what we call the flywheel house out in the Rockaways. The last words I remember in the substation was my compadre yelling at me, "Lobey, run!" And you never saw us get out of that building so fast as the flash chased us out. Yeah, electricity is strange stuff, never been fully understood. As I said, we're guided by Ohm's Law, but more or less the ultimate king is Murphy's Law there. So we'll have to do what we have to do. But it's always good to take precautions if you know a storm is coming or there's any kind of a static charge or something building up in the atmosphere. Turn the thing off, pull the plug, and maybe you'll give your equipment a chance there. Not to say that the color TV and the high-definition box is going to blow up. All right. See if Don is still out there. AA2DS, Don. Hey, Don is gone. Andy checked out. N2YIE Mike, are you still with us? We're dwindling down to a precious few here. Hey, Rich, KA2KDQ. You got WA2AXZ and the K2IRT group. You know, it's getting close to the top of the hour, so if you don't have anything, we'll just start the 73 round. Come on in, Rich.
Hey, Roby, since it was mentioned about lightning and the effects of it before, one thing I can remember from 2005, you know, for the last couple of years, I've been going up to a ham radio convention sponsored by the Akabi Ring Organization. It's an organization of Jewish ham radio operators in France. And basically, what is, the first year I went up there, this was in Kutcher's, in Monticello, New York. I think it was on the afternoon of the second day that I was there. It was either that Monday or Tuesday afternoon. Actually, it was on a Monday afternoon. You know, the sky got, you know, very dark and started raining. But I remember watching from my hotel room, you know, besides the rain, in the distance, I don't know exactly where, I saw quite a few thunderbolts come down and hit the ground. And believe me, that scared the living daylight out of me, even though it was miles and miles away. And I also remember that on the, what was it, the Liberty Repeater 147-135, they were having a Skywar net. And, you know, a lot of people were checking in, telling them where lightning bolts had hit and other points of interest were. I didn't check in because, frankly, where I was at Kutcher's, outside of it being a lot of rain and lightning coming down the distance, everything was relatively quiet at that location. Back to you.
K2KDQ and the K2RT group.
Well, I know one thing that it's funny, but I speak to this fellow out in Ohio every day, Tom, KC8QGJ. And
He's got his towers, he's got the long wire antennas for 160 meters, and a whole selection of other little antennas along the way. And at the base of his tower, he's got this powerhouse knife switch. Apparently he picked up this copper knife switch, humongous 2,000 amp monster, sort of like what we used to use in the old trolley substation. And we talk to him just about every night. Matter of fact, he's on 160 right now talking. And what happens is the slightest sign of lightning or thunder, because he's out on right off of Lake Erie, and that's all flat land, and his antennas are pretty high. Clears himself from the air, he runs out in the backyard, he slams this big grounding knife switch in. He says these will be some of the lightning strikes that he's taken over there. And I can imagine, you know, having this total antenna system being a rod for anything unusual in the way of that phenomena there. Well, enough of that, Rich. Listen, you have a great night, and we're going to continue up to the top again. Abe, WB2PQR, you still with us, Abe?
QR Charlie 2 Sierra Papa November, Carmine in Riverdale. Check it in.
AA2 Sierra Papa, what again, please?
QR Charlie 2 Sierra Papa November.
Okay, T2 Sierra Papa November, how you doing? Come on in and make one.
Not too bad. I actually just had a question. A friend of mine was talking about, this is the K2IRT group. A friend of mine was talking about introduction of the R179, that is the Romeo 179er subway car, to the New York City subway fleet. And I have heard and still starting to do that. I don't know if anybody
repeat it clear. The R-179 is going to be the successor to the R-46. Apparently it's going to be a 75-footer. It's going to be a monster of a car. Kawasaki's got the major contract to build these. I think it may be a subcontractor with Bombardier, but it's a beautiful car. Unfortunately, they keep talking about having these cars as energy-saving devices. And through our studies and our testing that we do out on the test track, we're not really saving that much in the amount of electricity with the AC traction motors yet.
I thought that the 160 was designed to supplant the 46s, or are they not taking those out yet? Over.
The 146s are still there. Forgive me, the 46s are still there. But the 179 is going to come in and it's going to start taking over the IME fleet. Part of the F line, E, and the A train line there. Quite a few cars coming in on that contract. We keep scratching our head why they keep investing in these monster 75-footers. But, you know, they committed to it, and we'll just have to roll with it and supply the power to it, kid.
Yeah, that goes back to the days when the IND-DMT was complete, when they were all separate. You know, the IND-DMT always used to use the 75-foot cars and the wider their car's longer platform, and evidently they still do. I mean, I don't think it would hurt if they would standardize everything to a either a 60 or 65 foot LOA car like they run on the IRT. That would make things a lot easier. That would make interoperability easier. It would make for standardization. You know, you wouldn't have to maintain separate yards for everything. Anything could be moved into any yard. It would make a lot more sense, but, you know, evidently that's the way they want to do things. That's the way they want to do things.
Okay. Forgive me for one second there. I've got our new ham, Jim, on the phone here.
Yeah, with the new cars, when they started with the R46 series, even though it tried to replace some of the BMP standards, the car was so large that it couldn't make many of the turns in the INDF line tunnels. So you're going to find several areas in the tunnels where they actually took some of the bench wall down so these trains could make the turn. I've walked many of those tunnels over the years, especially up in the Prospect. You know that 1F line by Smith and Knight? And as the train makes the curve, they've cut so much of the bench wall away to let these large cars go through that as you're holding on to the railing as the train's passing, the train is just barely inches away from your nose as it makes the turn, Jack.
Scary stuff. I had another question. I listen to, I carry a VX7R with me at all times. I listen to IRT, BMT, and IND radio in the system. A lot of times I notice, you know, I can hear the TOs and the CRs coming into towers, but when they go into, when they come into RCC, oftentimes I can't hear one. I hear either control or I hear the train. It's not that, I don't think it's that they're using different PL tones, because I hear on their radios they pick it up, albeit with a deal of static. Is it just the fact that they have radios that are specifically tuned to those frequencies whereas I'm using a radio with a wideband receiver, or is it something else, Ed?
Comments.
Here's the comment.
How you doing, guys? This is KC2KXC. My name is Mark. I'm going to tell you, I got a nice little net going here. I listen to you guys from time to time. I have a question. Do they have any cars that are made here in the U.S., any trains? And do they plan on buying any such type of trains in the future?
Hi, Mark. We got Bob over here for the K2IRT group there. No, the New York Transit Authority did a great job. Company and the St. Louis Car Company out of business in the 1960s. There are no more American manufacturers building cars. The only North American company we have is Bombardier up in Canada. Later on in the 1980s, there was a consortium between Bombardier, Alstom, Westinghouse, Amrail that made some of the R68 cars. But that thing fell through, and now there's only two kings of the castle now, the Japanese and the Canadians. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. All right, thanks for the info. I just wanted to find out. It's a shame, but I'll let you let another station come back with his question. Thanks. Pick me up. Okay, T6. Over to you.
Hey, Mark. Check in anytime. Thanks for stopping by and be part of it. As for Charlie's comments there, the subway uses a strange thing called the leaky cable. Matter of fact, they're upgrading the radio system now in the subway. And what occurs is a lot of the transmissions aren't in the open air. If you're getting some transmissions, you're in your house and listening, a lot of times you'll hear some of the elevated trains at Coney Island Yard or if there's a major facility nearby. But they direct a lot of the signal, even though it's the same frequency above and below, to underground leaky cables to direct that signal to the trains themselves. Go ahead.
Copy that. Do you know exactly what type of system they're going to? Go ahead.
No, one of our friends on the air, and you have to forgive me, I forgot his call letters, is actually one of the contractors installing that radio system. Our cable section is installing and upgrading the antenna cable. And it looks like the Heliax cable. It's a solid dielectric cable, but the outer shell has holes in it. And the only purpose is to let the signal out at a metered rate. Okay?
Yeah, so they're not reforming the communication system to go to like a trunk system or a P25 or anything like that. it'll still be monitorable, or receivable, that, rather, by convention. Is that correct? Go ahead.
It's going to be the same FM. The frequencies are going to be the same. Of course, the big bucks to change, and I don't think the TA has that money yet. I think they're just trying to keep their idea for the Second Avenue subway afloat.
That makes a lot of sense right about now, because that is a big capital expenditure. Go ahead.
Well, like everything else in the subway, it's not a little system. We saw it with the original IRT subway in 1904 with barely 9 miles of track. And the unification in the 40s and the extensions of all the lines and the different contracts. Including the yards, we're up to 811 miles in the city. And now when they start the 2nd Avenue subway, which will be an extension of the Q train, the Q train today stops at Carnegie Hall, and we all know how to get to Carnegie Hall. Practice. But seriously, the Q train is going to head up to 96th Street. That'll be the first phase. It's probably about 2012, after which they're going to keep digging the hole up to 125th Street, and that'll be the terminus for the Q train and the BMT. And finally, when they get enough money and open behind them, they'll start the digging south to Wall Street, and then the train from 125th Street to Wall Street will be known as the D train. All right. Charlie, hold on a second. Let me just go through the list, and we'll get back to you. WB2YZX, come on and
then chime in. WB2YZ and again WB2YZX. Okay, and I'm about talked out at this point, so let me just say goodnight to everyone. And KC2SDN, I didn't get your name. I'd like to write down everyone's name and everything. I'm a logbook fanatic from way back, just in case I come across you again. I'd love to know your name. What is your handle?
Kilo Charlie 2, Sierra Papa November. The handle is Carmine. The location is Manhattan College, Riverdale. Go ahead.
Okay, great. Carmine, very nice to make your acquaintance. And with that, let me say goodnight to everybody. Over to you, Robbie. I'll be on the side, and I'll tell you, speak to you during the week, whatever. WA2AXZ, WB2YZX.
All right, Charlie. I don't know if you heard the Fox hit the Broadway Murray substation again the other day. Apparently the fire alarm went off again and the Navy is getting upset. I can't understand why. A big substation in the middle of a residence. Maybe.
Call to the guy that's in charge of those and yell at him.
Get it straightened out by the time I retire. But after 38 years, I don't know when. All right, Charlie, listen, you have a good one. And we'll catch you on the email and see what's going on there. Going down the list, we got Phil, KC2DXM. Come on in, Phil, and make a final. It was interesting listening to you guys talking about the 75-foot cars. When I used to work out at 207th Street, back in the yards, dashed away. As a matter of fact, that's the last time I saw it. It was during the strike when I was checking out, you know, the yard. They had that car that they built so they can check the clearances. They had all these switches on the outside of the car body, and then they had a big panel board inside with all individual lights that were all marked and, what do you call it, indexed to the switches. And they ran those through the tunnels, and that's where they found out where the R-44s were going to have problems, you know, getting around the curve. As far as I know, I think it's still out there. KC2DXM.
I believe that's called a geometry car. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that might be what it's called. I don't know. I doubt it.
Well, actually, in talking to some of the old-timers, when I first went to 207, that was back in 1991,
so there were some of the old timers still working there. They built that car at 207th Street strictly for that purpose.
Well, I gotta tell you guys, they've been measuring clearances different ways throughout the history of the railroads. If you guys take a ride to Baltimore, and they have the Baltimore and Ohio Railroad Museum, they've got a train down there called the Porcupine.